brought your Bible, where you can go ahead and open up to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We've had a good day today. We appreciate y'all allowing us to have a good day with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 1, and I do have a timer set, and it's just something I've become a habit to, is on Sunday night, I always set a timer for 30 minutes, and just a habit my pastor got me into, there you go, brother, so just something I stuck with, so I will have a timer tonight, amen, so you'll know when that timer goes off, I'll be done. And because I know this, unless the Lord's in it, I know I can't give you but so much in certain time until our rear ends get tired of sitting there. And if you get tired of sitting there, you get tired of listening. Amen. And so my objective every time I stand is to make sure that I can give you something to go home on. And if I can accomplish that, then we can accomplish something. Amen. So if you're in Psalm 1, let's stand and stretch our legs and honor the reading of God's precious word. Psalm 1. And the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you, Lord, for a place to come and meet. And Lord, we know the air conditioning ain't working right. We pray that God, you would take care of that, Lord, and fix whatever that needs to be fixed. And God, provide however that needs to be provided for. And we're trust you with that. And God, I pray now that God, that you would help us with the Word of God on this Sunday night. And Lord, help us to rightly divide the Word of God and preach the Scriptures. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and the touch of God. And Lord, we give you glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm not going to be able to give you all of what's in Psalm 1 tonight. But I'll give you 29 minutes of it. Amen. And pray that in that 29 minutes, God will speak to your heart and help us to give us something for the rest of the week. Amen. So Psalm 1 is a summary of the whole book of Psalm. It teaches us the way of a blessed life. And it warns us that there is a sure destruction for sinners. Would y'all agree with that? We all know this book to be a songbook of the Bible. Anytime you hear great preaching, they always refer it to it as David or the psalmist, him singing unto the Lord. Amen. And so God will give us a song to help us live for him. And at the same time, in the middle of giving us a song, he'll give us a word to live for him, so that we can have the ability, and I hope y'all know that, you have the ability to walk hand in hand with Christ right now. It's not something that's foreign. It's not something you cannot obtain.
But you can literally walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ every single day, every single moment of your life. And I'll just push pause right here. There's a book that I love dearly, that it always convicts me and draws me nearer. It is called The Practice the Presence of God. I know his name is Brother Lawrence. It's an older book, but you can get it with a brand new cover on it. Amen. It's called Practice the Presence of God. And that whole book is learning to live your everyday life as if Christ was standing right next to you. Amen. And it's a great book. I encourage you to buy it, read it, and read it once a year. Amen. And that's just my opinion. So here we are, the Bible says, blessed is the man. And so I always hear that Christian, the families, they want God's blessing on their life, right? I want to live a blessed life. I want God's blessings on my life. And let me say this, your outward material things does not mean God has blessed you. There's a lot of lost people without God that got nice things. Nice things do not equal God's blessing on your life. Amen. Although he will give you nice things. Amen. And I praise the Lord for those nice things. It's a blessing. But that don't mean God's hand's on you. That don't mean God's blessing is on you. Because a lot of lost people, ungodly people, have a lot of nicer things than we got. Amen. And so blessed means to have joy or to be happy. I want to live a joyful Christian life. Oh, blessed is the man. Oh, the happiness of man. You can have a happy life. I can have a joyful life. And how is that possible? My blessedness does not come from my outward circumstances, but it comes from my inward circumstances. Amen. The way to obtain that blessed life and live a blessed life is obvious. The first thing you got to get is Christ in you. If Christ is not in you, it's impossible to have a joyful life. You do not know what life is if you do not have Christ, because Christ is life. You may be happy and joyful, but you don't realize yet the fullness of joy until you have joy that lives and abides in your soul. Amen. Every person can have a joyful life with the Lord by taking heed to three truths that we find in Psalm 1. And if we take heed to those things, we'll have a blessed life in Christ. I'm going to give you those three things real quick just in case you don't invite me back. Number one, you see the advice I take. Number two, you'll find the acquaintance I keep. And number three, you'll find the ambassador that I become. And then some other things, the word I must have, the work he will do, the way that you will go. And I'll give you those real quick and jump into it. So number one, we find the advice that I take. The Bible says, blessed is the man. So happy is the man, joyful is the man that walketh what? Not in the counsel of the ungodly. So when I am seeking counsel, if I'm going to have a blessed and happy life with Christ, I ought not to be taking counsel from the ungodly. Don't take advice from lost sinners. Their heart and their mind are not the same as yours. A lost man is not going to be able to lead a saved man. A saved man ought to be leading a lost man. A saved lady ought to be leading a lost lady. Amen. If you're saved, there's no reason and you have no business seeking advice from somebody that does not have Christ abiding in them, because their perspective is not a heavenly perspective. A lost individual's perspective is not going to be the same as a saved individual's perspective, because a saved man or lady has heaven in mind. A lost man or a lost lady has earth in mind. Y'all believe that? And so I ought not to take advice from lost men, lost women. And our views are not the same. My steps should be ordered by the Lord. Ungodliness should be far from my mind. I cannot have joy from God if I'm listening, if I'm spending all my time listening to the world instead of listening to Christ. Amen. And in life, there's going to be a lot of decisions you have to make. There's going to be decisions you have to make when you get married, who you're going to marry. There's going to be decisions that you have to make when you have children. There's going to be decisions that you have to make about a church, about a pastor, about leadership in the church. All these things are going to come with the obligation to make choices to be a good leader. And if I am seeking leadership advice from a lost man, all right, so let's say this. If I'm seeking leadership on how to pastor a church from a lost man that's agnostic, do you really think he's going to be able to help me? No. He's going to lead me into running the church in the ground because he don't want the church to thrive. Is that right? So why do we do that with other things in our life? Why do we take things that are important to God and important to our home and important to our life, important to our marriage and important to our kids, and because we think highly of somebody or because we love somebody, we take that and want advice from somebody who's lost without God, with a different view, a different mind, a different heart, and we wonder why when we follow that leadership it ends up in a mess? Because you are different. You're peculiar. Your life cannot be lived the same as a lost individual's. It's impossible. The reason why lost people can live like lost people is because they're lost. The reason why saved people have a hard time living like a lost person is because they're saved. Amen. And so the very first thing I see is the advice that you ought to take. If I'm going to have a joyful, happy life in Christ, when I have decisions to make in my life, I ought not to go to the lost man or the lost lady for advice. I ought to be seeking a lady that's filled with God. Amen? I ought to be seeking a man that's filled with God. Hello? I ought to seek somebody who's been doing this thing twice as long as I have, and that's went through the ups and downs and the bumps and the smoothness and the good times and the bad times, and they still come out and into this thing and they're still serving God, they're still faithful to church. That's who I need to go take advice from. Not somebody who's ungodly, don't want anything to do with God, don't want anything to do with church, don't even care if they go to heaven or not. That don't make no sense. Amen. So you see, the advice that I take, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Next part, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So number two, not only the advice that I take, but the acquaintance that I keep. Standeth in the way of sinners, the word standeth. It means to abide. It means to be at a stand. We can't hang out with the wrong crowd. If we place ourselves around sin, we'll eventually fall into that same very sin. We begin to do the very thing that we once stood against if you begin to hang out with the wrong crowd. Willingly, you begin to go against the Word of God all because you chose to hang out with sinners. Amen. Because the crowd I stand with, because I then choose to stand with the lost crowd, I'm now in reality standing in the way of sinners coming to Christ. He said, don't take advice from the ungodly, Because when you begin to take advice from the ungodly, you begin to participate in the advice you just took. And now you're walking the same ungodly lifestyle that that individual you took advice from, and now you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Now not only are you hanging out with the wrong crowd, but now you are beginning to do those things that back in the day you would have never done. But now you begin to do those things. At the same time, you claim to be a Christian, but now you are participating in the same very sin that these sinners knew that you were a Christian and knew that you were supposed to be set apart. But now you're participating in the same thing they're doing. And now in reality, you ain't only participating in sin and blocking the relationship with Christ in your own life, but now you are affecting them coming to Christ because you are the one standing in their way. Because they were looking at you. They were following you and you didn't even realize it. They were watching your every move and you did not even realize how close they were watching you. They did not openly come out and say it because they love their sin and they've not yet come to the acknowledgement of their sin. And they were counting on you to not be like them because they needed to see something different. But when you started saying, you know what? I'm going to take counsel from the ungodly. You start walking down, you're walking down the straight and narrow, and now you begin leaning left, begin leaning right. Sooner or later, you're in places you thought you'd never be in, doing things you said you'd never do. And now you're backslid. Now you're saying things you used not to say. Right? And now you are literally standing in the way of somebody else coming to Christ. Because of the way you live. He said, don't take advice from the ungodly. He said, because when you do, he said, don't stand in the way of sinners. Amen. Look, nothing in my life ought to be standing in the way of somebody coming to Christ. Amen. And look, don't say, well, I'm going to go hang out there. I'm going to take my individual self. And I'm going to go plant myself in the middle of a crowd of sinners. I'm going to be the only Christian there. I'm going to go down there to that crowd because I want to be a light to them. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because you're not in this alone. Right? Even when Jesus sent out somebody, he sent them two by two. You can't say, I'm going to go down there. You're going to leave your wife at home. Say, honey, I'm going to go down there to the bar with some tracks. I'm going to just go into the bar and hand out tracts. No, that's how you become an alcoholic. Right? You can't say, I'm going to go hang out with my buddies because they're doing ungodly things and they're smoking weed, they're smoking dope, but I'm going to go be a witness to them. No, they're going to be a witness to you. You say, well, I'm just playing golf with them. But they're over there drinking booze and they're over there getting drunk, but you're going to be a witness to them on the golf course. No, sooner or later, you're going to grab a can and join in. Find somebody that can play golf with you that ain't going to drink the whole time or smoke weed the whole time. And I'm just saying this because I've seen it because I like to spend time on the golf course. My dad loves playing disc golf. Y'all know what disc golf is? He said no. I didn't know what it was either. Till he started playing. But they literally take a little frisbee that's made a certain way and they throw it at a basket. I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. Till I went out there and did it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not very good at it, but it's fun. Right? Same thing as golf, except for I'm not hitting it, I'm throwing it. Neither one I'm very good at. Except for disc golfers, I found out all of them go out there and they all smoke weed. So I was like, well, I can't go out there because I can't just go play randomly with disc golfers because they all are on it. I can't go out there and say I'm going to be a witness, right? Because sooner or later I'll join in. Not that I want to, but that's why I don't go. So I'm not tempted, right? If I don't want to be tempted, I shouldn't put myself in positions to be tempted because I'm just a man. I'm flesh. And if I want to overcome temptation, I ought not to put myself in that position. Because eventually I'll stand in their way. If I just say, no, I can't, they'll say, wow, he's different. And eventually, when they come to the knowledge of their sin, they'll come to me and say, why are you so different? I say, because I got Christ. Right? My boss, my new boss, not my boss, well, both bosses, really. My boss, he likes to play golf. But when he plays golf, I could say, honey, I'm going to go play golf with my boss to be a witness to him. But he'll just get drunk on the golf course and my witness will be no good. So I had to say no to him. Right? Because I can't be around it. Because if I go and around it at the same time, even though I'm not doing it, it looks and appears as I'm supporting it. And if somebody else sees me out there with him, right? And he's drinking, but I'm not. But I'm riding the same golf cart as him. They ain't going to think that I'm not. They're just going to assume that I'm participating in the same thing that he is. And I will then be standing in their way because of my testimony. Some things you got to say no to, and it don't feel good to say no to them. Right? Because even though you're not the one participating in it, you're still at fault somehow. Because you're supposed to be blameless, above reproach, separated. Amen. Not a legalistic separation. There's a big difference between separated for Christ and being legally separated. Legalism, you don't want anything to do with, because that's far from God. Liberalism, you don't want anything to do with. You're going to have to learn to find a balance in there between the two. Because this side is way far, and that side's way far. And you got to learn to live a Christian life by thus saith the Lord, not by thus saith a man. Hello? So I ought to not take counsel from the ungodly. Ain't that what the Bible says? Not me. I didn't say it. I ought not to stand in the way of sinners. I didn't say that. That's what the psalmist said. The acquaintance. I got to be careful what kind of people I hang out with. And it ain't because you don't love them. Matter of fact, you're not hanging out with them because you do love them. Ain't that right? I cannot have a blessed life hanging out and participating with sin. My time should be spent with the Lord and the Lord's people and other like-minded Christians. All right, number three. We're doing good. I got 10 minutes. The ambassador that I become. You begin to sit, and I've touched on it in the other verse. But the Bible says, standeth. So you start taking counsel. Then if you're not careful, you're standing in the way of sinners. And then, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We begin not only to live in sin ourselves, but watch this. When you go from standing in the way of sinners to sitting in the seat, you become a leader. You go from not only living in the sin and committing the sin, but you begin to teach others to live that same way. And it all started by giving ear to ungodly counsel in your life. We begin not only to live in sin ourselves, but we begin to teach others to live the same way. The word sitteth, it means to dwell, to remain, to continue, to tarry. The word scornful means a teacher, an ambassador, to make a mock of everything that God is. Wow. So you once lived for God, and then you begin to take counsel from the ungodly, begin to listen to their advice. So then you begin to stand in the way of sinners. And then you get so far out there that you become the one that sits in the seat of the scornful. And you start mocking everything that God is. Have y'all ever seen somebody's life go down that path? Somebody that used to sit on the front row and shout. Somebody that used to go to an altar and pray. Maybe somebody that used to get up and preach. Maybe that somebody that used to get up and sing. And you started watching their life slowly go down this path. And now they're the very ones that used to stand up and testify, weep, cry, shout, pray, preach, whatever it is. Now they're the very one telling people don't go to church. They're just a cult. You can be close to God at home without going to church. Y'all know God designed the local church for a reason. You can be close to God at home, but He designed the local church so you can come and get strength from a body of believers. And y'all know every body part is important. That means every believer in the local church is important. Amen. There's some things you couldn't do if you didn't have your thumb. There's some things you couldn't do if you didn't have your big right toe. Every body part that God has given you is important to your life in order to fulfill what God has for you. And every believer in the local church is important and has a place and an involvement in the church in order for the church, the body of Christ, to be what it's supposed to be for its own community and its own outreach. Amen. So, we won't have the blessed life if we are dragging others away from God or mocking everything that God is. It all started with the counsel you decided to take. Amen. So real quick, there's only 6 minutes left, so I won't go any further because the rest of it probably take another 30 minutes. All right? So, in order for my life, He said, blessed is the man. Look it up. It means happy is the man. Joyful is the man. You go all through your Bible. If you want to learn how to have a joyful life in Christ, just do a Bible study on that one phrase. Blessed is the man. Just go through your Bible and see every time that God says, blessed is the man, what He says about it. Amen. So if I'm going to live a joyful, fellowshipful life with Jesus Christ, and you can, every moment of every day, you absolutely can. Starts by simply not taking advice from ungodly people. That's pretty practical. When you need advice, go to somebody filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with God. Somebody that you know that's not just going to give you their opinion, but that will show you in the Word of God. Somebody that's not going to give you their opinion, but if they don't know what to tell you, instead of telling you wrong, they get on their hands and knees with you and say, let's pray about it. That's the counsel you need to take. Amen. So don't take counsel from the ungodly. Blessed is the man. If I'm going to have a joyful, happy life, what am I not going to do? I'm not going to take counsel from the ungodly, and I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. I'm not going to allow things in my life be what holds somebody else back from coming to Christ the same way I did. This is how I pray. And I know He's still working on me. He's still working on you. Until Jesus comes, He's still going to be working on us. Amen. We're not perfect. If we could be perfect, He would have never had to die. Amen. And if all Jesus did was to save you for you to go to heaven, there wouldn't be none of us here. Right? I mean, could y'all imagine if as soon as you got saved, you just died and went to heaven? I wouldn't get saved. If I was in church, watched somebody go to an altar and get saved, and that was all God wanted to do with you, and you died and went to heaven, I wouldn't be getting saved. But when He saves you, He has something for you to do. If you're saved by Jesus Christ, He has a reason and a cause and a purpose for it. And it's a whole lot more than sitting on a pew. So I'm not going to take counsel from the ungodly. I'm not going to allow anything in my life to stand in the way of somebody coming to Christ. And I'm definitely not going to get so far from God that I begin to sit in that very seat and begin to lead other people into my sin and take them with me. Because look, you can't lose your salvation, right? We all know that. So let's say you get saved. You get backslid on God. Start participating in sin. And you start doing that seating and scornful. You may lead somebody in that sin and you may eventually come out of it like the prodigal and get right with God. Because if you're truly God's child, you ain't going to be able to live in sin and not be bothered. That's what the book of Hebrews says. It says if you don't have any chastisement, you're a word that means one without a father. So if my sin ain't bothering me, if your sin's bothering you, you ought to praise God for it. If it's not bothering you, you probably need to seek out. The Bible says work out your own salvation. So I'm not going to tell you you're lost, I'm not going to tell you saved. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. If you have sin and he don't, and the Holy Ghost don't affect you with it, don't bother you, it says you're without a father. And the Bible also says work out your own salvation. So that's for you to pray about, figure that out. So I'm not going to get so far away from God that I begin leading other people, because you may repent and you may crawl back to God, but they may never. And you may be the reason they're in hell and blood's going to be on your hands. That's what I believe the book of Exodus teaches. If I'm the reason somebody dies and goes to hell, there'll be blood required at my hands. Amen. So what I'm not going to do, if I want to live a joyful, blessed, happy life in Christ, I'm not going to take counsel from the ungodly. I'm not going to begin to participate in that sin and hang out with the wrong crowds. And I'm not going to lead people down the wrong path and into a sinful lifestyle. Blessed is the man. None of that ever said, blessed is the man if he has a two-story mansion house. None of that ever said, blessed is the man that has a bass boat. It did not say, blessed is the man that has a nice Matthews hunting boat. Didn't say any of that. It did not say, blessed is the man, and you put whatever you want to put there. Amen? All right, I'm done. If a man of the church wants to come and dismiss us.